Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of our weekly podcast. I am your host, Errol Sutherland, and we are going to be reading the top five stories of the week chosen by you, our fans and readers of Eagle Feather News. These stories are chosen by the most views we had on our website and the most engagement we had on social media. We're talking about likes, shares, comments. We also have a new LinkedIn page that we'd like you guys to connect with us. Here's number five and your top five stories of the week. Teen climate activist fighting for Mother Earth by NC Rain for Eagle Feather News. Saj Starkovich is Saskatchewan's Greta Thunberg. 17-year-old Swede Thunberg has become synonymous with climate activism since she began leading thousands of students in 2018 to walk out of class to protest the climate emergency. But Thunberg isn't alone. Although she is indisputably the face of the movement, there are many other young writers who are taking serious action to protect both their communities and our world. 13-year-old Saz Starkovich, a member of the Carry the Kettle Nakota Nation, is one of Saskatchewan's young leaders fighting the systems that enable climate change. Being a vegan all her life, Starkovich has always been involved in animal rights activism, but learning more recently about the state of the planet has prompted her to focus on the environment. When I found out the world was dying, that Mother Earth was dying, I started doing climate activism to help our Mother Earth. I feel like I have an obligation to help the Earth because I need an Earth if I'm going to have a future. Starkovich has wasted no time taking action on the climate crisis. She has met with the mayor of Melfort, written to her city council, met with MP Randy Hoback, spoken in front of hundreds of people in the Saskatchewan Legislative Building in Regina, and attended marches all over the country, including the Thunberg-founded Fridays for Future Strikes. When adults contribute to climate change, they know what's happening, but their lives aren't on the line. Ours are. We need to send them that message. My ancestors have been on this land since time immemorial, and the land and the Mother Earth has given us so much. I feel like we owe it to her to take care of her, and the animals, who are like our brothers and sisters. We owe it to them to save this planet. Perhaps the most notably, Starkovich is one of the 15 young Canadians who are suing the Canadian government over climate change. The lawsuit, filed on October 25th, accuses the government of contributing to dangerous climate change. The young plaintiffs are supported by the David Suzuki Foundation, the Pacific Center for Environmental Law and Litigation, and our Children's Trust. We are hoping for a science-based recovery plan to save our future and Mother Earth, she said. I think if everyone does their best and is motivated to help, we can do it. The young climate activist doesn't lack for motivation herself, attributing her family for providing her with the encouragement and support. Starkovich was even able to briefly meet with her role model Greta Thunberg at the climate strike last year in Vancouver. It makes me really happy that there's someone like her speaking. She's such a big influence on the climate movement, said Starkovich. It's really encouraging because she's still just a kid too. That makes me feel like I can make a big difference as well. We now take you to the fourth most read story of the week. Advocacy groups, lawyers, call for jailmate inmate releases amid coronavirus concerns. Criminal defense lawyers, law professionals, and advocacy groups wrote an open letter to the government of Saskatchewan last week asking for a significant number of prisoners to be released from provincial jails due to the risk of transmitting the coronavirus. Correctional authorities can only meet their obligation to public safety in this context by releasing a significant number of prisoners, such as those remaining in prisons that can protect themselves and their communities from infection. States the April 2nd letter was signed by lawyers for the John Howard Society, Elizabeth Fry Society, and 20 other legal advocacy organizations and individual lawyers. The solution is not to further restrict the liberty of prisoners. The answer, as we see it, is to reduce the number of people in the institutions, to demonstrate a concern for prisoners, medical and psychiatric care, and to commit to giving prisoners the tools needed to protect themselves and the facility against COVID-19. The Ministry of Corrections and Policing has said there will be no changes to release or reintegration programming. In an April 6th statement, the ministry said there were no confirmed cases of COVID-19 in any Saskatchewan correctional facilities. It is said the ministry can take steps to help spread the COVID-19 in correctional facilities, including 1. Maximizing the use of existing infrastructure and program space within correctional facilities to create additional space for offenders and staff. 2. Suspending, limiting, or adjusting programming to accommodate smaller groups of offenders. 3. Additional and thorough cleaning and disinfecting of all correctional facilities, including the use of contracted professional cleaning services. 4. Increased communication on preventative hygiene measures. 5. Controlled access to hand sanitizer and provision of soap free of charge. 6. Free and privileged phone calls with chaplains and elders, and 2 additional 10-minute calls daily. Sherry Meyer from Beyond Prison Walls Canada, an advocacy group for inmates and their families, said they are worried about the lack of social distancing and other ways the virus could spread in jails. Meyer has also heard concerns from inmates in the federal prisons about the lack of action to contain the spread of infection. We are now at number 3, and this is the third most read story of this week. dreams come true when you find your passion. Being creative and resourceful with your surroundings takes talent. Being able to generate income while doing it is a gift. On the Canoe Lake First Nation, employment is limited, so residents rely on social assistance. Russell Rusty Iron was just a band member who was unemployed and needed income to survive. Iron felt he needed to be more productive and financially sufficient, so he put his creative ideas into action using the resources available to him. Iron lives on a reserve surrounded by lakes, land, and trees. The landscape and all its offerings became his palette. I started to carve talking sticks out of trees. It was hard to do. I managed to sell a few at around $500 each, but it took months to make one, so it really wasn't enough for me to live on. Iron eventually sought employment outside the reserve. He traveled to California and Las Vegas at the request of some friends and stayed after securing steady employment as a maintenance man. During his downtime, he volunteered at a senior's leisure center and took carving classes. Iron learned the art of carving feathers using a knife. After 5 years of absence from his home community, Iron returned to Canoe Lake to start a small home-based business selling carved feathers. I sold my first handmade batch very quickly at $35 each. Not long after I started, I was getting bulk orders. I was doing it by hand. If I had to figure out a quicker way, said Iron, I bought a woodworking tool called the Dremel, but it was hard to get used to. I had to find the right bit, but when I did, I was able to make my pieces faster than ever. Many First Nations organizations from across the province gift their students, attendees, and dignitaries with Iron's beautiful handiwork because of the quality and the care he takes making them. When an order is placed, I am able to personalize them with names or events. My feathers are carved and glazed. I then add a leather strap around the base and finish it with a piece of sinew for hanging it in your home or in a car. It's a nice keepsake for anyone who gets one. Iron has found his passion and is living the ultimate dream of doing something he loves while getting paid for it. We now bring you to the second most popular story of the week. Rock band social distancing while collaborating on new songs for a new album by Julia Peterson for Eagle Feather News. Music has always been a family affair for brothers Ryan and Jamie Picacute. Our dad played in a band, our grandpa fiddled, and from what I hear, our great-grandpa also played the fiddle. We grew up with it. The Picacute brothers, along with bass player Kevin Joseph, now formed rock band Black Rain, which has toured across the country and even been featured in an independent film. We played so many gigs this year, between 70 and 100 gigs all over Canada. Every single year, we all agree, because we're all single dads. We've got kids at home. This next year, we're all going to slow down. And every single year, we keep hitting the road. Ryan, a singer, and Jamie, a drummer, began their musical careers as children. We started off playing with our dad. We played our first big gig with him in Big River, and I was around 12. And then eventually quit. Every gig that was offered to his band, he just forwarded to us. And we started from there. The bandmates shared a passion for rock and roll, putting creative spin on a genre, but always returning to their roots. Black Rain is straightforward rock and roll with a bit of country and all kinds of influences, but nothing too flush, just a touch. The hook is in rock and roll. The three musicians take particular pride in performing their own songs. We are one of the few Aboriginal bands that exclusively records original songs that we wrote. We've only ever recorded one cover, and the rest was all original. Black Rain is currently working on their fifth album. And while social distancing measures due to COVID-19 pandemic are changing their usual writing process, they are adapting. We are using social media to share even from our telephones. We have little snippets of song ideas we send to each other. Since we're not going to be able to see each other for a while, we're exchanging songs and finding ways to collaborate that way. Still, they're looking forward to being able to perform for audiences once again. We're passionate about putting on a good show every single time we play. It's all about the love of the song and being on stage and putting the best show we can. Hi, everybody. Welcome again to our Eagle Feather News Online podcast. I am your host, Errol Sutherland, and here is your number one most read story of the week. Thunderchild First Nation man passes away from COVID-19 by Janelle Mendez for Eagle Feather News. A man from the Thunderchild First Nation recently passed away from the COVID-19 in Seattle, Washington. He was 61. He was a selfless, caring, and hardworking man, said Janine Abraham, who was the eldest daughter of Thunderchild. Although they have lived far apart, she said her father always kept in contact with the family through phone calls and video chats. It was a lot of phone calls and FaceTiming every other day, said Abraham. He would always make sure that he called us. Thunderchild was married to a woman in Seattle named Geraldine Hamley, who also contracted COVID-19. Hamley had to say her final goodbyes to the man she spent the last 25 years together through a phone call. He passed away on the evening of April 4th, 2020. When Abraham heard the news of her father's passing, her heart was shattered. The hardest thing was knowing that no one was allowed there at the hospital, she said. He was alone in the hospital. When Thunderchild's friends in Seattle heard of his passing, they gathered and stood outside of his place with signs to show support and express their condolences to his loving wife as she stared out through her bedroom window. It was heartbreaking to hear that she couldn't even get a hug by family or friends because she was in isolation, said Abraham. Thunderchild is remembered as one of the main pillars of his family, not only through the eyes of his wife and children, but his family back home. Harvey Thunderchild said his brother was a helpful guy and a good-natured man who always had the right words to say to everyone. Growing up, he was a sports enthusiast who loved hockey and baseball. He will be remembered as a great powwow MC and someone who never shied to assist in ceremonies, but mainly he will be remembered for the love he had for his family. Thunderchilds are a close-knit family. No matter how far apart we live, we always made that connection as a family, said Thunderchild. My brother Wayne always flew my mother to the coast to visit him every year. His grandchildren were everything to him. In the eyes of his brother and daughter, Thunderchild was mainly known as a survivor. He had different sicknesses, including cancer, but had always fought through. When the family first learned he was diagnosed with COVID-19, they had hopes that he would beat it. His passing took everyone by surprise. You wouldn't think COVID-19 would hit home. That's the hardest part. We weren't able to be there for him, talk to him, to see him. That's what hurts the most. He was alone. The family will cherish the words of their beloved pillar, who strongly encouraged everyone to take precaution to the coronavirus, even prior to being diagnosed with COVID-19. His message was strong. He always said, don't risk it. If you don't have to be out, then don't, said Abraham about her father. He always thought of the frontline workers. He appreciated the sacrifices they are making for other families. A memorial service was held at Thunderchild's mother's place in First Nation community, where the family honored and followed the rules of limiting attendees who wished to pay their respects. Once travel bans are lifted, Abraham and her sisters plan on traveling to Washington to bring half of their father's ashes home to Thunderchild First Nation, where they plan to have a proper burial. Thunderchild left behind 3 daughters, numerous children, his wife, his mother, and 11 siblings, among numerous friends who will always remember him for the man he truly was and the impact he left in their hearts. I want to thank everybody for joining us for our Top 5 Stories of the Week. This is Errol Sutherland, your host for Eagle Feather News Online. I'd also like to remind you guys that we do have a LinkedIn page. Go to LinkedIn and look for Eagle Feather News. We'd love to connect with you guys. Also, if you'd like to advertise with Eagle Feather News, go to our website, go to our contact us page. We do have advertising opportunities available on our website and our newspaper. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Have yourself a great weekend.